Dr. Blue.
Love Line, coast to coast.
It is Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. Yeah. Why my mic seems so hot? Is that the...
it is. Yeah. Compared to mine.
Yeah, barely have the thing current. You fix that, Anderson? Good times.
Still hot. Ah, now it's fixed. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Fact number 310-854-4455. Bring it back a little bit.
You better hope so. It's going to be a long-ass 2 hours. How dare you. And what's going on?
It's really...
What
the hell's the matter with you
tonight? Okay, I'm all figured out.
Oh, it's because you didn't sleep for 2 days.
No, I didn't sleep when I was in New York, but we all right? Jesus Christ, and Thursday night I wanted to come across and strangle that chick from the New World.
Yes.
Melissa Howard. What a pain in the ass.
You didn't say anything to her.
I said she was a pain in the ass. I saw her. I thought she was a pain in the ass when I watched that Real World, and then when I heard her on the radio, I went, oh.
You were so nice. I thought we were being cordial to her.
Well, I was trying to be nice, but anyway. All right, let's
tell me a embarrassing story about her boyfriend.
Oh.
She what?
I can't divulge
it. Okay. Well, don't bring it up then, you idiot. That's horrible radio.
Ew.
Her boyfriend raped her or something, or did something weird to her?
No.
Oh, well, did something. Okay, I'm going with rape.
But there's a lot of stuff.
Okay, speaking of rape, let's bring our guest up now. Jenny McShane is our guest tonight. Jenny is currently on the Watcher, the James Spader, Keanu Reeves, or I should say Keanu Reeves, James Spader movie, which is out in a pretty wide release. And what'd it do? It's doing pretty good, isn't it? Did it make some money, this movie?
It was number one at the box office for 2 weeks. I think we came in fourth last week.
Yeah, except for that, I did okay.
I just, no one likes Keanu Reeves, that's the point. Guys don't like him. Girls do. Do girls like him?
I think he's great.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy?
Very nice.
Seems crazy to me.
He's nuts. He's really not. He's great.
Really? He's not nutty?
No.
I know, not by actress or actor
by normal human
standards, but by like regular guy standards, he's nutty, right?
My brother got into the movie by accident and as an extra. He thought he was cool. He said,
oh, really?
I like him. I like him. Jenny's cool.
How'd your brother get into it?
My brother's a golf pro, and he was on a trip. He was up for the Nike tour, and he was on a layover, and so he came down to the set and checked it out, and I was working with Spader on a scene. I told him to take a seat, and they sat him right in the scene. So the camera guy goes, hey, the guy looking at the camera, please not look at the camera. I'm like, that's not a guy. That's my brother. Someone get a paycheck over here.
So you worked. Oh, man, I wish my sister would get me into something. And my sister actually, she was nice enough to work me into a gig. I pay for her kid's child support for the daycare.
No?
Yeah, that's the gig my sister got me worked into. Not the movies. $800 a month.
Wow.
Fantastic. Yeah. The Outlaws is also a movie that's coming out that you're in. When is that? When's that coming out?
It should be out in 6 months. I just finished filming that with Michael Madsen and Forrest Whitaker's little brother, Damien, and William Forsythe and Jeff Fahey.
Okay. Now, Mike, I know Michael Madsen's nuts. He's nuts.
He is not. He's great.
He is nuts, this guy. And you know the thing about Michael Madsen? Michael Madsen's made like three really good movies and 135 horrible movies. Mm. What is up with him?
He likes to work.
God, does he like to work.
Come on, he came from blue collar like I did. You need to work every day. That's the work I grew up with.
I know, but why doesn't he just spare his dignity and get himself a job, you know, driving a bus or something? I mean, this guy's done some really good work, and he's a good actor, but he's done some horrible movies in every movie. I've seen this guy... And he's like in every third movie, isn't he?
Yeah.
Him and he works more than Janine Garofalo used to work. Thank God she slowed down a little bit. All right. Drew's nodding his head feverishly over there. Jenny was also in two of my favorite, actually, one Drew's wife's favorite show, Silk Stockings.
Oh, wow.
Episode of Silk Stockings. I know your wife goes berserk for Silk Stockings. She proclaimed it a cinematic triumph about 8 months ago. And my two favorite shows, Nash Bridges and Renegade.
Oh.
Nash Bridges is my favorite show because they use the first name of the actors in the promos, which I always enjoy. Find out what Cheech and Don are up to Friday night. Always bothersome to me when they use the guy's first name of the actors. It's like, okay, so what is he? Is he a cop? Is he an actor? I don't know what he is now. Cheech and Don? Where's the suspense? I mean,
that episode is really great. I played a rock star, and, you know, it was just really fun working with Cheech and Don. They don't even tell you anything. You're just walking behind them, trying to keep up with what they're doing, but both of them really great to me. I played a rock star in that episode, and it was last year's favorite episode. So
how do you figure out, who figures out what's last year's favorite episode?
The network, I guess.
Ratings.
Oh, it means just the ratings?
Yeah, and then also I got 77 fan letters on the internet for that episode as well.
Wow. This is great. Drew, you ever get a fan letter?
I don't know. No. I've never shown them. They would carefully burn them and keep them from us. So.
Also, guest starred in my second favorite show besides Nash Bridges, which is Renegade.
Renegade was awesome. I played a Mormon preacher girl. My mom was like, "You look so ugly on this show."
That's hey, ladies and gentlemen, my mother.
What is that? I know.
What about your mother?
That's Stephen J. Canals, a genius, you know.
That's too.
Yeah, he did the A-Team, which is guys falsely accused of crimes. Guess what? They were framed. Guess what for?
They didn't do it.
A crime they didn't commit. You see? Not just framed. Framed for a crime they didn't commit. And then they go through in the A-Team they lay low in that orange, that van with the orange Dave Glow stripe on it, and the black guy with 7,000 pounds of gold jewelry on. They're undercover though, and they roam the L.A. underground
on the freeway.
I've lived in L.A. my whole life. I'm not sure where that is, but when you need them and you get a job done, and the cops won't help you, the A-Team is going to do it. And on Renegade, he was framed for a crime he didn't commit. Lorenzo Lamas Jr. was, right? And he's undercover as a guy with no shirt, a vest, and a hog, a fully dressed hog, and no helmet that he goes up and down the highway with. But he roams the Badlands, not the L.A. Underground. And if you need, he's a bounty hunter. He'll help you, too. Never gets paid. Never accepts money, but helps people.
Yep, but you still know all about it.
Yep, that, because I know that Stephen J. Canal said, genius. What a genius. Oh, my God. He's so prolific. Heather?
Yes?
You're 16. What's up?
I was just wondering, can you get pregnant when you're on your period?
It's possible, yes.
You can?
Yep.
All right, thank you.
But it's not probable.
It's less probable, but again, it's hard to know when you've ovulated, so I wouldn't count on anything.
It's hard to find guys to have sex with you, too.
Just use morning after pill or get appropriate contraception, okay?
All right.
We haven't had more discussion about the RU-46 in this show. You'd think we would, you know?
Yeah, that's just legalized in this country, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, let's just break it down so people understand what it is. RU-486 is essentially an abortion pill.
Absolutely.
Whereas the morning after pill is a prevention pill.
I was reading today that it has about 95% effectiveness as an abortion pill. And yet, you know, if you take the morning after pill within a day, you're at 90% and you haven't caused an abortion.
Right. So the morning after pill is a pill that does not let you get pregnant.
Right.
And the RU-486 is something you take after you get pregnant.
Correct.
Right. Now, what do you think would happen if you kept the RU-486 right after you had sex without a condom?
That's an interesting
question.
Think
it would make an impact?
In other words, could RU-486 be used in... Well, but then you're still causing an abortion. You really are, because it's about the uterine lining and this readiness to accept implantation or to reject. So, and then that, you know, that's where the arguments break down, and I'm probably not going to get behind RU-486.
I'm going to ride on the RU-486 float.
That's fine. You may. I'll stay firmly behind the morning after.
They're having a big heterosexual parade down Wilshire coming up soon. They want me to be the Grand Marshal. My feeling is that this pill is long overdue in this country. It's been in Europe for a good 20 years, and these a-hole Bible-thumping Republicans are complaining that it was rushed through the FDA.
And it's dangerous.
And it's dangerous. I swear to Christ, how long has this stuff been used in Europe?
20 years.
20 years.
It was first outlawed here in 89.
Outlawed in 89.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe even before that. I seem to remember.
There's a big
I remember women going to Europe trying to get it and bring it back with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this stuff's been in wide use on a worldwide stage for many, many years.
20 years.
Yeah, so it's not being pushed through the FDA process, is it?
No.
Beautiful. Sarah? And that's, by the way, what I love about politicians. More talk about nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys are up there pounding their fists saying that RU-486 was pushed through too quickly, needs more consideration. As usual, zero relevance. Zero. Thank you. Farah?
Hi, everybody.
Hey, you're 23. What's up?
I have a question. I have a lot of pain with any kind of penetration, be it the masturbation or the gynecologist.
Same here.
Oh, I'm sure. Right, Adam. And,
No, I mean, when I'm penetrated, it hurts.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Has it always been this way for you?
Yes, and I was wondering if it had to do with being on my, I'm manic depressive, and I'm on Prozac, Neurontin, Buspar.
Have you always been on those medicines?
I've always been on, yes.
So as long as you've been sexually active, you've been on those meds?
Yes.
I would say not. The medicines have nothing to do with it.
Oh.
Although the Prozac can decrease your libido like crazy.
Yeah, I have no libido.
Yeah. And
I haven't been sexually active it's been 5 years now.
And is the pain at penetration, right?
5 years?
Yeah.
So you were 18, that was the last time you had intercourse?
Yes.
Well, but let me go a little further.
All right, but how did she know 5 years? Things should change.
Masturbation, she puts things
in. Oh, she had it. Oh, what do you put in there, like a lamp or?
Lava lamp.
An Oscar?
That's why the lava lamp's like.
That's why they're like turkey baster.
No, finger.
And put your finger.
And is the pain just at the time of penetration or?
Yes, and then also when I was having sex, it was also as it got further in.
Mm. Were you sexually abused when you were a child?
Not that I know of. So.
Because that's one of the...
Right, yeah. I've been listening to your show forever, and yeah. I haven't seen any...
5 years? Wait a minute. Why you haven't had a boyfriend in those 5 years?
Nope.
What's up?
Don't want one.
Don't want one?
No.
Why?
Because I have no... libido.
Yeah.
There's no, I don't feel.
All right, hold on. Let me talk to my my posse here for a second. All right. Jenny and Drew. Mm. She has pain with intercourse. Doesn't necessarily have to be something that's physically wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't had a relationship in 5 years.
Yeah.
And not 5 years, not age 50 to 55, age 18 to 23. I mean, Jenny, you've probably squeezed a few relationships into that time period, right?
I didn't have sex until I was 21, so you guys
are
giving me, like, the full sex education.
Really?
I'm serious.
Wow.
But,
That was all wrong.
No,
all wrong. Entirely wrong.
My dad,
way off.
My dad's father is a nun, so, you know, I was pretty close to that. So.
Your dad's father is a nun?
Yes. But one thing I just thought of.
Doesn't nun mean feminine?
Someone just said, huh?
Is he a monk? A monk?
No, she's a Franciscan monk.
Oh, she?
Nun.
Oh, she.
You said your dad's father.
No, my dad's sister.
Your dad's sister.
Oh, okay. A little Freudian. So
sorry,
okay.
I'm sorry. Did I say dad? Oh, whoa.
You said dad's father was some nun.
pause.
No,
I picture like a guy with a cigar and a beard and a habit.
I imagine Sister Patrilla with a beard.
Hey, Sister Patrilla had a beard.
No, she tried to convince me to be the first actress to be a nun, and I said, you know, I'd only be able to do teen movies, and there's not a lot of those out there, so I think I'll have to think about that real hard.
Well, okay, so...
Can't we go up second?
So you wait until you're 21.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. How old are you now?
29.
So you've been making up for it since then, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're just talking to Farrah?
Yeah.
Yeah, now, see, I wonder if there's something going on emotionally that's causing a little bit of vaginismus about.
And she should look up at drdrew.com. We have, if you look on the search engine, there's a look at vaginismus. There's several articles on that. And there are ways to retrain it. There's some thinking, aside from the fact that it's an emotional response to penetration, that there's actually a spinal reflex that gets entrained.
Or it could be, not to interrupt, but it could be a tipped uterus.
Ooh. Yeah, but not right at the penetration. Yeah, but just as it's going
with
in.
Your finger?
The uterus is when it's all the way in.
That's
when it feels uncomfortable.
What's up? Is your uterus a little tip?
Yes,
it is.
You got a little tip on yours? Let me explain something that I've learned from this show.
Yeah.
Anybody knows anything medically that's not a doctor themselves?
They've got it.
They got it. So I just think whenever they start talking about cleaved palate or chromatosis or whatever it is, shingles, or when they start speaking about anything, you just be careful, because I would just say got it, want to get it, got it. What's dipped on you?
Uterus.
Uterus.
It's called a retroverted uterus.
Is it all the way around?
Give me the drawing.
No. 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 Jenny can show me on her own uterus. Is it turned a little bit?
It's just like tipped in a different direction. So I found this out because my mother had 8 children and she always had problems having her children because of this.
Why would you have 8 if you had difficulty after the first?
She's baby crazy.
No kidding.
Yeah, by the way, having eight means not having difficulty having children, by definition.
I know, every time.
And 20% of 20% of pregnancies end in abortion spontaneously.
Yeah.
So even if she's pregnant every month for 12 years, she still has to be eight babies.
Right.
So, listen, I haven't said this on the air, but my my nuts are tipped. Maybe we should put together.
Tip testes?
Yeah, tip testes. My dad knows because his are tipped as well. And then Grandpa Corolla has tipped test. I saw old pictures of it. Black and white.
Okay, I'll stop talking.
You can still see it.
Wait, we didn't finish the third.
Oh, yes, we
did. Check out VeggiesWith at DrBlue.com.
All right. Mary?
Yeah, hi.
I'm 16. What's up?
Okay, I'm a really big fan. I love the Man Show. I love.
Oh my God, the Man Show! It's on right now. Comedy Central. I always forget to bring that up. Yeah. Well, I didn't bring it up last week.
Oh, the hell, you didn't.
Whatever.
I didn't bring it up.
At 11 o'clock, you did. You talked about the next hour.
At 11 o'clock. All
right.
It's on at 10. You idiot. Everyone, turn to Comedy Central right now. You watch the Fabulous Man Show. This is the best episode we ever did.
Okay. Well.
That's what it is.
No.
Yeah.
I'm doing this project for my art class, and it has to do with a sign of somebody I admire, right?
A shrine?
Like, yeah, a shrine.
Right.
So I'm like, why not do Adam? Because you're, like, one of my biggest idols.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, like,
what
I
do, Mary?
Put in it.
Like, hey, I'll tell you, I can save you some time, Mary. I did a shrine to myself a couple of years back. I just sent it out to you and turn that in. Just on hiatus, had a little time around the house, do a shrine. Shrine. The old shrine had been worn out from, you know, me passing it around at parties and stuff.
It made out of ceramics?
It's construction paper, elbow macaroni, some silver spray paint, and some ceramic work on there. Yeah, and a lot of headshots, things like that, clippings from newspapers, part of a football trophy, used condoms, stuff like that.
I thought, believe it would make.
Kleenex.
Maybe I could put some lotion and tissue.
Oh. That's fantastic. Right.
No. The tissue would break down too quickly. I think a gym sock.
Use a gym sock.
Yeah.
And if you can't find any semen, just put a little spray starch on it. That worked.
And and I was wondering if you can sing some Taboo too for me, so I can maybe like record it and put it in there too.
Yeah. Are you allowed an audio portion in your shrine?
I can put whatever I want in it.
Uh-huh. And this is for a grade?
Yeah.
Oh.
And
you plan to stay in high school?
Yeah. What kind of school is this? Is this a public school?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
An alternative?
Are you going to the hippie, the loser public school or the regular?
Just the regular.
It's not the alternative one?
It's pretty mixed. We have some ghetto people at our school, though.
Yeah, but what I mean is like, at our school, I went to North Hollywood High, and in the corner of North Hollywood High, they took, like, the girls' softball diamond and fenced it off, and they made it into Amelia Earhart. Apparently, Amelia Earhart was from North Hollywood
or
crashed into it one time or something.
Right.
There's a lot of North Hollywood Library with the Amelia Earhart statues, a lot of Amelia Earhart North Hollywood stuff going on. Anyway, this school is called Amelia Earhart. It's basically... The students called, my sister went there for like half a semester. You call the teachers by their first names. You show up when you want to show up and leave when you want to leave. It's sort of the school, it's high school for guys who don't want to give up the weed and
those kinds
problems.
Of do not exist anymore because they were such abject, miserable failures.
Oh, really?
Yeah, now they're the concentration camp.
They don't have like the weird hippie school?
Not public.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, Mary?
Yeah.
So you wanted some Taboo too?
Yeah, I want you to sing some Taboo too, so I can record it.
Do you have your tape recorder poised and ready?
Yeah, I'm playing it right now.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll lay down a little. Sure. You talk me into it.
Take it out to break with a little.
Okay.
A little bit of the pipes.
Well, I gotta hear Taboo too. By the way, is one of my all time favorite porno movies from
She doesn't understand your time.
About 19. Well, listen, I didn't grow up with a VCR. Okay.
I didn't either.
Okay. I'm not accusing you of having a good family. I did not have a VCR. My dad's first move was Beta. What a genius. And this is like 81. So my friend Louise had a VCR when I was like 18 or 19, and his porn movie was, he had like a Deep Throat and he had Taboo 2. And I watched Taboo 2 like 175 times in one weekend. And I really enjoyed it. And I just got reacquainted with it. You know, it's like an old girlfriend or something, like someone I haven't seen since my senior year in high school. And it has great music in it. And I actually recorded one.
Great.
Okay. superior music.
Exceptional.
Exceptional. Exquisite music.
No, exceptional.
In it. And I made a little recording of it at home, and this is called He's Got It All.
Well, who are you thinking about?
Hold on. This is a song written about Junior, a guy who's raping his sister and his mom.
Oh,
so it's kind of an homage. So she's singing about Junior. Well, not really raping, but forcefully having sex with his family. Now, here we go. Thanks. He has it all. Yes, he does. Just listen to the words. He knows how to please in every detail. He can do more than you'd ever imagine and do it with style. He does it with me. Oh, yes, he does. I know that you thought that you knew him. Watch this. Give Mary an A. Well, maybe you did. But you don't. That's the part I like a musical. He only reveals what he wants you to see, and then shows it all. And when he does, he satisfies me. It's like I'm singing every woman in the world. If you only knew just what he could do.
Yeah, and you wonder why the country's in the shape it is in. This is high cinematic triumph, circa 1981.
You'd want him to if you only knew.
Yeah. Having sex with his mom and his sister.
To Junior, they both bought him off at the beginning, but he moved, you know, eventually they kind of let their guard down, and as it turns out, they enjoyed it.
Yeah, so the song says.
That's right, if you only knew. All right, Mary.
Do you think I could get some pictures to me?
No, I don't have any pictures. You want to come down here and take some?
Maybe.
Can't do that.
Where are you?
Okay. Well,
where are you calling from?
San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. That's a short 6-hour car ride.
Okay, no, Ann off the air. She'll set them up for you. Maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
What pictures do you have? There's one with you in it.
Cut that out.
All right, we'll just crop that. Jenny McShane is our guest tonight. She's in The Watcher, new Keanu Reeves movie, which is currently in theaters as we speak. And we'll be back with her and you and all of us after this. Bloodline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. The Man Show. Yeah, it's on right now. Just a couple more minutes of comedy left. Comedy Central, everybody. Yeah. Jenny McShane is our guest tonight. Jenny's currently on The Watcher. That's with Keanu Reeves and James Spader. What's your part? I haven't seen this movie.
I play a homicide detective with James Spader.
Oh, yeah.
Ballistic expert.
I think it's a... I like the role because I'm one of the guys.
Because you get paid?
Yeah, that too. But it's cool when women in film have a strong role, I think.
I like that too. It gives me an erection. like I was telling Drew last week. Like, remember when Wonder Woman used to get the Nazis
and
wrestle with them a little bit?
Right.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. Is that strong?
I love Wonder Woman.
Yeah, me too. She wanted the truth.
You liked
the last two. I mean, I liked Biker.
Did you?
Yeah.
How much?
I think one of my earlier masturbatory fantasies, this is before I, had my head screwed on straight.
I call it jag, wouldn't it?
One of my
preoccupation. It's not a fantasy.
Yeah. One of my earlier masturbatory jags, probably about 15 years old, I think it was Wonder Woman broke into Adrian Barbeau's house. They had sex or something.
Yeah.
I didn't know, we didn't know what we were doing back then.
My friend Terry Polo, who's in Meet the Parents, which is coming out soon, did a movie of the week with Linda Carter, so she came home and she's like to her husband, honey, can you imagine I got boobs with Wonder Woman today? He was like freaking out.
Oh, yeah. What one is she in, Meet the Parents?
She plays the fiancé of Ben Stiller.
Oh, yeah, the blonde one.
Yeah.
Whose dad is he meeting.
Right? Yes.
Oh, well, that's a nice part for her. I've seen her in a bunch of other stuff, but I just can't
remember. Yeah, she was in The Arrival with Charlie Sheen. She's great.
The Arrival with Charlie Sheen. Okay. Oh, Aliens, yeah. That's right, Aliens. Sarah?
Yeah? Hello?
You're 16. What's up?
Hi. Okay. Well, one of my really good friends, like, for a while, she has had this horrible smell. It comes from her crotch.
Is she aware of it?
I think so. I actually confronted her on it, like, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And she got so mad at me. And she thought I was crazy. But, like, my other friend, they, like, notice it, too.
Yeah.
Did you talk to her about it potentially being an infection?
Well, she's not sexually active.
It still could be an infection.
Oh. And I actually went to the store with her, and I said, well, why don't we get, like, some Summer's Eve or something? And, like, she was like, okay, well, I'll buy it. And she said she tried it and it didn't work. And, I mean, like, she gets in moods where she'll talk about it, but then, like, sometimes she gets really mad if I bring it up.
Yeah.
You should tell her to talk to her doctor about it, because there's some antibacterial creams that she could use that might clear that up very nicely.
How's her hygiene in general?
Well, like, I don't really... I mean, she seems like a pretty clean person. It's, like, just, like, recently.
Yeah.
Like, the past month or so, it's, like, if, like, I spend at her house or something and she's in her pajamas, I can just smell it and it's, like, foul.
Mm-hmm.
And
it makes oral sex uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. God, I mean, it's just, like, it's horrible. And
I just kind of snuck that one in there.
She went for it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I see.
So, I mean, like...
And does it taste bad as well, or does it smell bad?
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
Horrible taste?
Maybe you should ask her boyfriend, but,
Oh, really? Does she have a boyfriend?
Yeah, I actually taught... I didn't, like, want to make it a big deal, but, like...
Is it possible she's sexually active with him?
I think she would tell me. She's, like, one of my best friends, and, like, I know they've had oral sex, and he actually came up to me, and...
What?
Huh?
He came up to you and said what?
He, like, asked me if, like, because he noticed it also...
He's got to talk to her. He really does. You got to sort of get her.
Oh,
and she's sexually active. It's important she get a pelvic exam. And
that's bad times.
And it's very simple to cure.
Is she attractive?
I guess.
Yeah, this is more tolerable on an attractive woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
guys can sort of work with it.
Yeah, but her boyfriend, he said he just noted it.
Okay. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
I'm listening.
You know, it's the difference between, like, remember I told you that time I was in the locker room in, like, high school practice, and I was like, I smell, let's see, what is that? I say, it's
pepperoni.
Deep dish pizza, probably, yeah, Chicago style, with a pepperoni or maybe anchovy on it. Turn around, this black guy taking his jock strap off, and he's standing on a bench, so he won't get athlete's foot, and his ass is right in my face, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, Christ, that's what I've been sniffing. And then immediately went south.
Yeah, and you're vomiting. You go from pizza, I'm hungry, I'm throwing up.
I'm throwing up. Yeah. Now, here's my point. The vagina, when it smells, if it's on a big, fat, unattractive woman, it gets really bad. If it's on a very beautiful woman, you can work with it a little bit. You know what I mean? You can almost use it. Right? You know what I'm saying, Jenny?
No, I don't.
But you guys know what I'm talking about.
I'm listening. I'm learning a lot.
Oh, yeah. Mike?
Hey, Adam. Hey, Jay, what's up?
Hey, you're 18. What's Mike? Up?
Okay. Jaden, say hi to me, my guy.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. All right. My question here it is. Because, like, I'm 18 years old, right? All right. I'm a virgin, and my girlfriend's not, and she don't want to have sex until, like, we're married.
Why, you guys, why is that funny? I like
that.
Yeah.
No, what was the nature of her sexual activity before?
What do you mean?
Was she kind of wild before?
Well, not wild, but she's like kind of bisexual too and had sex with her best friend.
All right, so she was, this is that trajectory issue.
Yeah.
Was she sexually abused when she was younger?
No.
But did she have some physical abuse or something?
No.
Mike, something's up. Yeah. You got to look into this. Because
this feast and famine thing always means they were screwed with.
Right. And that she was wild with confused sexual identity, having sex with lots of people, and then all of a sudden, zero. That means that she's got some issues about her sexuality. And
not lots of people, just like two, I think, and two guys and like a girl.
Maybe she's just trying to get his attention.
Where's her dad?
I bet if we
she's all like normal, really.
Where is she? Can we talk to her?
No, she's like...
I bet we get to the bottom of this.
It's like a long-distance relationship.
She's chained to the radiator?
Long distance.
Where are you calling from?
L.A.
Where is she?
Like...
Approximately how far? She's in Washington.
He's full of crap. He's making this up.
Probably, yeah.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This isn't good enough to make up, is it? Does it have to be better than this?
I think he was trying to protect her identity a little bit.
Where is she?
Washington.
Which one?
The Seattle one.
Okay. And what's she doing over there?
She lives there, but she's moving like back here soon.
How old is she?
18.
I see.
She going to school up there?
Yeah.
Hey, hey, Mike?
What's up?
Okay, here's my big problem with this call.
What?
Every answer you give is sounds like you're lying. Because
I don't pray for my listening. I don't know what the notes mean, all that.
All right, I'll buy that. All right, so...
There's more to be revealed about her, I'm telling you. Either that or she is just trying to get your attention.
I think she wants to see how much she really likes her.
We're
engaged, though.
What do you
get
to do with her?
Yeah.
How long have you known her?
Since childhood.
Yeah, that's weird. I always think that's weird.
We've been, like, serious now for about a year.
Yeah.
When was it she was so sexually active?
I think about 3 years ago.
When she was 15?
Yeah.
Oh, Mike, there's something more here.
Where's her dad?
She's all fine. Family's all together.
No.
Brothers, father, mother, all together.
How many brothers?
Two.
Right.
What are they like?
Rapists.
No, they're normal.
I don't know, Mike. Cool. Listen, for a 15-year-old to start acting out like that, that's not healthy. It means something. Now, maybe she was depressed. Maybe was she doing drugs then or something?
No drugs at all.
No, any alcohol in the family?
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Something
okay, happened. Listen, Mike doesn't know. She doesn't live in the same state he lives
in. Right.
Hey, Mike, listen to me.
What?
Brother. See, when I use brother, he's just really trying to listen. That's how wrestlers talk.
Well, she lives in Oregon, that way.
Oh, wherever. You're right. Okay. Here's the deal.
Okay.
You're getting engaged to this woman. You don't know her that well, and you're doomed. Do you hear me?
I know her a lot. I know her.
Okay. Slow down. And don't hurry up and get married just so you can get laid.
Does she have any kids?
No.
Okay, Mike. Just take it slow. Keep your eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get married too quick.
We planned it about a year and a half.
Okay. So you'll be upgraded from moron to idiot at that point and perfectly ready to make a decision like this. What are you doing with your life?
Trying to be a writer.
It'll never work.
What? Thanks a lot, man.
You're no Stephen J. Canal. I'll tell you that. You could never write about how a guy was framed for murder he didn't commit. All right, Mike. Good luck. You're fine. Just take it slow.
Be careful.
Don't get married too quick.
All right.
Stay a virgin, that's fine.
It's a weird thing. You know, it's a weird gene. A lot of women complain about these guys that are bachelors and never want to settle down, so on and so forth. And a lot of guys are that way. But then there's a weird little subsection of guys that want to get married while they're in the 10th grade and who've, like, known the chick since they were 4 months old.
Yeah.
And they're, like, really weird and possessive, and they want to get married, and they want to get engaged, and it's almost... they want somehow to play that role, almost like how women look at it. You know, a woman grows up and they're 5 years old and they're playing dress up and they're planning their wedding and they're, you know, doing all this kind of nonsense, almost grooming themselves for this day. There's a handful of guys that are that way. They're always really stupid, but there are a handful of guys that are that way. And I never understand it. It seems so against male. You know what I'm saying, Drew? What is that?
Mm.
I don't trust guys who don't act like guys. This is why I don't trust the gays, by the way. Do you know what I'm saying? What is that?
I think it's not about marriage for guys that do that. It's about
control?
Clinging.
Or clinging?
And about feeling empty and needing a life preserver.
And it's
locking somebody into
afraid
something.
To be abandoned.
Yeah.
And there's something about hurrying up and becoming an adult, and somehow this makes you a man, an adult, or something when you're 19, or it's just hanging on.
Other, just being controlled out,
yeah. Sort of. I'm halfway with you on that, but not completely, because I think these guys oftentimes aren't really super controlling guys.
They're clingy.
Clingy, yes.
And they usually fix it, guys. I mean, who's picking the girls who had all kinds of issues and stuff, right?
Right, yeah. Not fix it around the house, guys.
No.
Fix it around the brain, guys.
Yeah, fix the partner, guys.
Right. How come fix it, guys, can't fix anything, though?
Fix anything around the house?
Or around the brain.
What because it's not the way people are fixed.
They're more custodians than they are fixers. They just sweep up after there's a mess.
Yeah.
You know, like keepers. When the kids break in and vandalize the high school, they're the guys who just come in and clean the crap off the lockers. They don't actually do anything to prevent anything. All right. All right, now I got lost in my metaphors. I don't even know where we're at.
We're at a break time.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break, and then we'll be back after this. Oh, yeah, there we go. Did you give me the finger there, Anderson? What do you know? Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Over there, phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Jenny McShane is our guest tonight. She's currently in The Watcher with James Spader, Keanu Reeves, and can also be found, well, not coming out for another few months, but the Outlaws of the... No, wait a minute. What's your part in Outlaws? When does that take place?
It'll be out in 6 months. I play a con artist in that movie.
And is it take place in
current day? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we call it. I got to get into some movies. I really do.
It'll never happen.
I know.
Give me a break.
No, you know. I was just sitting around thinking about this over the weekend. You know, I decide I'm a good actor, maybe even great.
Yeah. Right.
And well, just as good as any of these other idiot comedic actors out there that everyone thinks is that everyone thinks are so amazing. But here's my point: you don't get to do anything unless you've done it before.
Right.
And then I started to think, well, what is it that I got to do in career wise that anyone let me do? And then I thought, nothing.
What do you mean let you do? You mean have to fight for it, scrap for it?
Well, no, not even fight or scrap for it. But whether it's radio, you know, the TV shows that I've done, I've sort of been involved with. I didn't get cast to do anything. I've never been cast to do anything.
Right.
Or the radio or anything.
Well, you refused to go to casting.
Oh, that's right. I don't do auditions, but screw them anyway. Here's my point. I think I'm going to have to write a movie, and then I can get
there
to a movie.
There you go.
That's what I'm going to have to do.
No, somebody came up to me at the Big Brother rap party last night and said, oh, yeah, it was an AD, and that lousy movie you guys did went straight to video.
Which one?
That one with Brooke Shields.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said they rented that.
Yeah, so what happened? Yeah, it was a straight video.
It wasn't that bad a movie. Yeah. I saw it. I don't know what that movie was. It's Brooke Shields and I don't know who else.
Something Ever After or something.
We get trapped on an island.
Yeah. Both you guys are on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we play ourselves.
Play ourselves yelling at each other.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in Down to You, too.
What?
That Freddie Prinze Jr. movie.
All right. But,
really?
The big one that we were in. We were in a lot of this film, right?
Yeah, a lot. Okay, there's this new Brooke Shields movie that's not too new.
No, we can't remember the movie.
We don't have the name of it.
We've never seen it. You've seen it. I've never seen it.
Go rent a Brooke Shields movie.
A new one.
Her newest movie.
About dating or something.
It's about dating. Yeah. Maybe it is. It's not called Black and White. No. Okay, any other Brooke Shields titles that it's not? Anderson, you want to blurt out? No? Sure? Okay.
And that's her newest one that anyone knows.
Oh, Black and White?
Well, no one knows this one.
And it's not that one?
No, unless you look at Mike Tyson.
Oh, Mike.
Oh, no, it was actually after that.
Okay. Well, anyway, here's the point. We're in it, and it's not a bad movie. I watched the entire movie, and usually when I'm in a movie, I fast forward to my parts.
Well, we're in the whole damn thing.
I know. I just fast forward, like, you know, the 8 minutes in between we're not in it. I would go to my part.
So, wait, you guys are trapped on an island with Brooke Shields? That sounds pretty good.
It's Blue Lagoon 8. It's called... Alan.
Very Blue Lagoon.
Very Blue Lagoon. Yeah. Alan?
Yeah.
You're 29. What's up?
Hey, I just have a question for Dr. Drew about depression.
Yeah.
Would that be something that I could go to my family doctor about and ask him, or do I need to go to, like, a...
No, you can start with your primary caretaker, but what's the situation? Is it just simply a depression, or are there other things going on?
Well, I'd say my depression comes from the fact that my wife is addicted to meth.
Has she ever been treated?
No, not for meth.
Yeah. What has she been treated for?
Well, she went for cocaine before I knew her, and also for alcoholism probably about 6 years ago.
So she's been through two previous treatment programs, right?
Correct.
Have you ever gone to Al-Anon?
No, I haven't.
All right. You have to go. If you expect her to get better, you have to get better, too. And so, for starters, you have to go to Al-Anon. Then once you have enough support there and are working a program with the sponsor, then you need to set some firm limits with her, require her to start participating in your own treatment. And if your mood is still out of control, you still have issues with your affect, do you smoke a lot of pot yourself?
I don't do any drugs at all.
Okay. If you have issues with your moods, talk to your family doctors for starters. But if you get all that in place, yes, family doctor can probably advise you on mood stabilizing.
How much meth is she doing?
Let's see, it's over $100 a week.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's snorting it or snorting it?
What's that?
She's smoking it?
Both.
As if women weren't crazy enough. Now this, right?
I'm telling you.
Oh, my God.
We have kids, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they know that she's kind of different, but they don't know what it is.
Do not protect her from falling flat on her face. If there's police, whatever you can do to get her to hit a bottom, let it happen.
How old are the kids?
Well, I have, they're 12, 15, and 6.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Courtney, three kids, huh? Couldn't just screw up one? Had to go for the trifecta?
I'm helping with somebody else's, actually.
Uh-oh.
The youngest one's mine.
I see. Oh, boy. All right, hey, Al.
She wants to get help, too.
Good.
Well, take her to the program right now.
Get her help.
You get involved. Where do you live?
In Ventura County.
Ventura County?
Uh-huh.
I'll give you a number. 626.
Well, let him grab a pad.
Ready? Yeah,
go ahead.
356-2671.
That's your home number?
The hospital.
626.
626-356-2671.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Tell them Drew sent you.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
And what do they get? 5% off their next visit for meth detox? Oh, imagine what the carpet that guy's place looks like. Kind of meth freak for... Well, at least she's cleaning.
Yeah.
Meth, you don't do a lot of cleaning?
Some people do.
I wish my mom would have got into a little meth.
As opposed to pot?
As opposed to weed. Yeah. Hey, Ma, you're going to come out of your room and cook something? Freak out! Okay, great. Hey, Ma, I'm going to slide a little meth under the door, okay? Even you out a little so you can get you to the market, maybe off your ass a little bit. You want that? Are you still checking the biorhythms? Uh-huh. Extra critical day? wasn't yesterday extra critical?
Was she talking about that stuff?
Oh
my God.
Oh, did I use the F word? I think I just laughed. That's right, Anson. My mom was into this biorhythm. My mom, let me tell you what people don't want to work do. They sit around and figure out reasons why they can't work, and that's what the biorhythm wheel is.
Oh.
It's like,
you want to smoke pot.
You don't work, you smoke weed, and then you check the biorhythm wheel. The biorhythm wheel is basically, it's like one step more retarded than astrology. It's kind of the thinking man's astrology. It's astrology meets mechanics in a way. There's actually like a wheel, and you check your biorhythm.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mom would be like, I'm having an extra critical day. I'm like, so you want me to go out to the mailbox and get the welfare check today, or you're going to be able to make it? You know, it's like, where are you going? You're not doing anything. Who cares? Every day is an extra critical day. You're locked in your room. Where are you going? Extra critical day. This biorhythm, is this even around anymore?
Well, the problem is people that don't want to deal with their mental health issues.
Right.
And a zillion million trillion
reasons. I was yelling about this to a friend of mine the other day, and I used you as an example. I said, you think Drew ever checks his biorhythm to see if he's having an extra critical day, or is he just at work?
No, I'm just at work.
That's right. That's what people do. Although you're unhealthy in your own way, at least you get a payday. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. Oh, Christ, my mom's not listening to this show. Jenny McShane is our guest tonight. You can find her in The Watcher, which is currently out at theaters. And we'll take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Seth. He's 18, found out his girlfriend is pregnant from another guy. Wants to know what to do after this. Shandala, shandala. Jenny McShane is our guest tonight. McShane is it's an Irish name.
Yes, it is.
Yes, that means lush. Does it mean anything?
I think that'd be Scottish.
A Scottish? It was
a Scottish
warrior princess alcoholic. Is this? What does that mean? Does it mean anything?
McShane?
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
No, not that I know of, but I did a TV show a little while back, and the guy said it means son of Shane. I'm like, whatever that is.
It's son of something. It's McShane. Of Shane.
I guess Mick is son, yeah. So then the next part of Mick is what your family name is.
Right. And then Mick, yeah. Also an Irish slang thing, right? Mick.
Yeah.
Call him Mick. Is that the Mick? Is that Mick? Is that MC or is it
MC?
Yeah, Mick. Yeah, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't got a problem with that.
Yeah.
It's short for McShane. All right. The Watcher is the name of the movie that McShane can be found in, and also The Outlaws coming up soon. And if you got the TNN and you like to watch reruns, look for Renegade.
And Shark Attack's on HBO right now, too, with Casper Van Dien is coming out in the Titans.
The Casper, Tarzan Casper?
Yeah, I brought you guys some posters, too, for Shark Attack.
Yeah, when is that Shark Attack coming out?
It's been on HBO all summer, and it's still playing, I believe. So it has Ernie Hudson in it, too, who's also in The Watcher with me, which is great.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Wait a minute. Did I see Shark Attack? Well, wait. Explain Shark Attack to me. See if I know this one.
Casper and I play marine biologists. We're trying to figure out why these sharks are attacking, and we filmed it in South Africa, and we scuba dive half the movie.
Nice. A lot of stuff of you paddling around in a two-piece, like underwater?
There's a lot of two-piece, but mostly it's a wetsuit underneath. It's kind of like, I guess, the deep.
The deep.
Like white t-shirt kind of stuff?
Yeah.
So that was the most pornography I ever saw. Remember when Jacqueline Bisset got out of the ocean there with just a white t-shirt and you could see her nipples showing through? That was as much pornography as we had, kids. Yeah, times were tough.
We had Sex in the City.
Sex in the City?
Was showing in our house tonight, and I got, like, upset.
Titillated?
No, but and it was, like, overt stuff. I got to keep the kids in the back of the house. They can't come this into the house while this thing is on the TV. This is just ridiculous.
Well, what do you want? It's cable, Drew, for Christ's sake.
These F-word?
Oh, no. Listen,
nudity, full frontal nudity.
Do you want those two boys to go gay on you? You start showing them some nudity and teaching the F word. That's one of the first words I learned.
There's masturbation, male and female.
Again, couldn't wait.
Come on, look at your pussy.
They're going to be into it soon if they're not already into it already. Seth?
Yes?
You're 18?
That's right.
What's that?
Well, I'm concerned about my girlfriend. I think she is pregnant. She hasn't taken the test yet. But the thing is, it's not mine. And
how far along is she?
Well, she missed her month, her period.
Now, why don't you think it's yours?
Well, because before she went out with me, she was with someone else.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Yes. And so why don't you think it's yours?
Because we haven't had any sexual relationships.
Okay, that would be the right answer there.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
And I have no idea what to do.
And
guys will skirt that I'm not getting laid issue
any way they
possibly can, and we'll work in the getting laid conversation into any conversation, is what I found out.
Yeah. And why doesn't she get the pregnancy test?
Well, she's not getting it yet, but she's,
why not?
Well, because she's been throwing up, and
why didn't she get the pregnancy test?
Well, she's getting that soon.
Why hasn't she had one yet?
I just found out a few days ago.
Why hasn't she gone and had a pregnancy test yet?
She's been afraid.
Okay.
All right. Good. And it only took 8 tries, Seth. You're really coming around.
Well, I don't know what to do.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. She's going to have to first establish whether she's pregnant or not. And let's just say she is, right?
Uh-huh.
Because if she's not pregnant, it's not like you're going to have to call back. Right?
Yeah.
All right, so what do you think she wants to do if she was pregnant?
Because it isn't your decision, it's hers.
Right. You think she want to give the baby up for adoption or have an abortion or sell it, perhaps?
No, she'd raise it.
She would raise it. And what would you do then?
I have no idea what I'm going to do. I've never been in this situation before.
You haven't raised someone else's kid before?
No.
No big deal. I got 6.
No. You really?
Well, they're not mine. They're all from different women. Yeah. Hey, Seth, how long have you two been together?
Less than a month.
Less than a month?
That's right.
Yeah, you may be in a little over your head here. You haven't had sex yet. I'll tell you what.
She's probably still hooked up with the other guy.
Seth, here's the deal. If she's pregnant, break it off.
Well, that's
too early.
It's cruel to her. I mean,
why? He's just in. You know what I mean? All right, hold on a second. He hasn't consummated the relationship yet. They haven't had sex. They're barely into it. It's probably not that much. Okay,
well,
now,
maybe back off.
Okay, now hold on a second. This is a woman who has sex.
Yes.
Okay? Now, she's been with Seth for a month and has not had sex with him. This is the kind of gal who probably has sex often and early, I would say. So here's my point. What does she think of Seth?
Hostage.
Yeah, she's not looking at him like a real boy. I mean,
looking at somebody to help her out in time of need, that's all. But then again, why should we prevent that from happening? I mean, that's...
From her taking a hostage?
No, from her having a friend. He would tell him to back off and not think of this as a girlfriend.
Oh, well, that's what I mean. That's not going to work. Hey, Seth, yes. Why haven't you had sex with her?
Well, it's too early in the relationship.
Too early.
That's right.
And are you're a virgin?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Shocking. I like him.
And she's had a couple of partners?
I believe so.
And you sure she looks at you as a boyfriend?
Yeah.
She does?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, she said, we're going to be exclusive, you're my boyfriend.
Yeah.
So she said, if I'm pregnant, you're definitely my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And if not, we're just friends, right?
Yes.
I see. And what have you done? Have you kissed her?
Yeah.
With your tongue out?
Of course.
Yeah, so you know what I do? My techniques, I move the tongue outside of the mouth. I put the lips, and then the tongue goes around, like around the nose and the chin.
No.
Yeah, and you're like a
so
fork or a towel.
What's the response from that?
Oh, the guys dig. I mean the gal. Seth?
Yes.
Okay, just take it slow and be careful. I know not that many people have shown that much interest in you over the years.
How can you say that?
I know. He's a virgin. I can hear it in his voice. Listen, Seth, let me explain something to you. Okay. You're talking to a guy. Now, I hope you're sitting down. Did not get laid a lot in high school. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, but then I began my lucrative carpet cleaning career, and I still didn't get laid. But here's the good part. I got into construction after that, and guess what? Still didn't get laid. But here's the better part. That only went on for 14 years. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm Mr. Semi-Popular and literally a millionaire, right, Drew?
B/C.
And a B, as called by his own producer of the man show, the great Daniel Kellison, a B/C celebrity who could probably date B/C/D celebrity women if he needed to. So, here's your point. I wasn't stupid. I didn't adopt this crazy chick's pregnant whatever when I was 18.
Uh-huh.
And you got to keep your eyes open, Seth. Just take it slow.
Okay.
Don't get trapped into this thing.
All right.
Seth strikes me as a guy so excited that someone likes him.
Well, there's something special about her. This is not a kind of woman that's been interested in him before. You know what I mean? He's in a new territory with this one.
Right. She's breathing.
No, he's not the
beanbag
chair.
He's been raping everything.
Or attractive or something. He's not been having access to.
Why don't you say it's somebody?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Jenny, you don't know what we're talking about. You're always very beautiful, weren't you? Yeah. It's got to be tough.
It's got to be a tomboy story, too.
Yeah.
There's definitely a tomboy story.
You didn't have a date to the prom? Yeah, it's got to be rough. No, you're fine, right? You never had any problems with the boys, right?
I dated the same guy all through high school. So,
you did?
Yeah.
Same teacher?
Yeah, the teacher.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up on a 500-acre pig farm in Minnesota.
Nice.
Where's your accent?
It's kind of...
The only Minnesotan without an accent.
Minnesota out? How do I say out?
Ooh, yeah.
About.
Ooh.
Yeah. I we were talking about this last week with the Minnesota guest we had
Brittany.
In here. Brittany from
Big Brother.
There you go. I had a few girlfriends that were from Minnesota. I've declared them all legally insane.
Why?
A lot of nutty chicks from Minnesota. Crazy.
There's
right?
A lot of place to run there.
Yeah. What is it? You're a little nutty too that way, right?
No, I'm not. It's
a little bit?
There's so much freedom. There's so much room there. You come out here and you feel like you're trapped.
Oh, so you go nuts when you get here.
Yeah.
So you're saying if you're on your home turf, you wouldn't be insane?
I'm fine, yeah. My home turf, I'm fine.
Okay. All right. I'm 0-2 in Minnesota. Sean?
Well,
you're 15?
Actually, I'm 13.
13.
Fantastic.
I was just wondering what the average male penis size was.
Flaccid or erect?
Erect.
Erect is 9.5, and I think flaccid's like 6 or 6.25 or something. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
Okay?
No, wait. Give me an answer.
All right, what are you, John?
Excuse me?
What size are you?
Erect is 6.
Oh, man.
That's above average.
Well, you're only 13. You so what? No, 3?
8 more years.
Yeah, 8 years. You could do 3.5 inches. Get up to average. No problem.
You're above average, John, right?
Well, no, I said average is 9.5.
I know you
half.
Said that. But
that's 9.5 erect. Did you say flaccid or erect, John?
Erect.
Oh, yeah. That's bad news. But you're just 13, right?
Yeah.
Yes, you can get. You got some time,
please.
You're still growing.
Just answer. Wait.
Oh, leave him alone. Who cares? Listen.
You're above average.
Oh, blah, 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 blah.
He's above average.
Oh, what?
That's a damn lie, and you know it!
He just went to
well,
say
what are you?
Johnson was 6 inches.
If he's not above average, if 9.5 is average, Adam, please, come on.
Hold on. I have two things to say to you. The first thing is, how dare you? And the second is, how dare you bring up my penis size in front of our lovely guest?
I didn't bring up the size of
my balls. Man, I lost my balls.
The lack of size.
How
the absolute size.
You.
If 9.5 was average.
I have one of the most functional penises I know.
Mechanical.
It's like a Swiss timepiece. Really. So I have the Toyota Camry of penises.
The penis ninja version.
Very, very reliable.
The penis is very dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Where are we going tonight?
I don't know. You know, I think of my penis. You know, my penis. Remember Steve Largent, the NFL receiver, played for Seattle all those years? Oh, for Christ. Oh, my God. Jesus
anyway.
Christ. Oh, for Christ's sake.
It must have been in the 80s.
The guy led the NFL in receptions. It was just
probably in the
80s. Jerry Rice beat him like 2 years ago. He's the NFL's all-time reception leader. He's a senator now. Steve Largent?
Oh, for Christ.
What the?
Hey.
How can I
was
do
it? Was it not in the 80s, in the early 90s?
It doesn't. Huh?
Must have been 80s, early
90s. I don't care.
What state is he the senator for?
Well, he played all those years in Seattle. I don't know. Maybe it is in Washington. Is it Washington? I got a whole room of people know who Steve Largent is. Jesus Christ, what happened?
I told you I was those 12 years were sort of cut out of my life.
Surgically? Do you get, what happened? When you get home, would you get corralled to like a big pickle jar that you get there?
No, for years and years, I didn't go home. I didn't see a television. The television went to my chair in the patient hospital room.
Oh, how dare you.
So I see like 5 a.m. morning.
Oh, please. All right, well, forget it. I can't do a show with you. Kim? You see, here's my point, everyone. I had a point to make that I was going to use Steve Largent as a reference for, but it's completely out the window now.
Well, these are wonderful stories.
There's another guy you've never heard of, Drew. Who, by the way, I've seen on TV every single night since we brought this up. Every night. Tonight, Huell Hauser was, last night he was down at the train station in Union Station in L.A., and tonight, where the hell was he? Jesus Christ, the guy's probably been to your house 3 or 4 times, Drew. Kim? Kim?
Kim's 90 minutes, probably asleep.
Oh.
Kim? Ooh. No.
It sounds like she's at the ocean.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Rich. Rich?
Yeah.
Rich?
Yeah.
You're 29.
Yep.
Save us, Rich.
You smoke weed all day, right?
Yep.
You know who Steve Largent is?
Yep.
and you're chronic pot smoker?
Really?
Yeah. Interesting. Really? Interesting. Well, anyway.
What state is he the senator for?
I
guess Washington State. Oh, I'm sorry.
He has no idea.
Yeah. Well, you know he played. You know he's an NFL great, right?
Yep.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
Kirkwood, California.
Beautiful. So what's up?
Even like when I smoke pot, I think about it all the time when I don't smoke it. First thing I do when I wake up is I smoke it.
Yeah. You're addicted. It's a common.
Definitely. But they say it's not an addictive, but it's
listen,
a
I treat,
problem then?
No, it's addictive. It's addictive for a subset of people with a family history of alcoholism.
Yep, I got that.
I treat it every day. It's probably the most common addiction I have to treat, and I run an addiction recovery program.
Okay, so when people want to quit, does that mean they got to go to rehab center?
You got to go to some kind of treatment. You will not stop without it. And
yeah, that's the thing. Like, even those, like, it's like, I know I should quit because I smoke too much.
Rich, if all I had to do was convince you to stop, then I'd convince you to stop. But that doesn't, you want to stop, and you can't.
Yeah.
And the depression you're going to get into for several months is rather profound. So you got to be really careful.
Why does that happen?
Because this is a drug, and it injures your brain. Your brain has been affected by this drug for years.
Yeah.
And it injures it. It's not fortunately not a bad injury. It tends to get better. But, you know, you will get depressed. And people get panic attacks and all sorts of weird stuff.
What do you do, Rich?
Well, I work at a ski resort, huh?
A ski resort.
Yeah.
Because how many months out of the year does that keep you busy?
Like six, and then I pound nails the other six.
I see. Into the same piece of wood, or you move around?
I try to move around as much
I see.
As possible.
You're a carpenter?
Yeah.
What do you do, framing?
We do remodeling the inside of houses.
Oh, you do the inside of the house?
Yeah. Make them look all fancy.
I see. I used to specialize in the middle part of the house, not the outside, not the inside, but that little wall space.
Yeah.
You know, in between, the outside and the inside. That 3.5 inches thickness of the stud.
That's your specialty space?
Yeah, middlemen, they call this. Yeah. Hey, you want to quiz me, Rich?
What's that?
You got any carpentry quiz me? You want to quiz me?
No, I don't want to quiz you.
You don't want to stump me?
No.
Try to stump him, come on.
Yeah,
I'll always find this.
Thing, my question, all right, if I'm going to quit smoking pot, is it really necessary to go to a rehab center?
It's necessary to get some kind of treatment. You can start with MA, just get a referral phone book from AA, where a Marijuana Anonymous meeting is, but... Because the depressions can be so serious, I do recommend you see a physician who's used to treating this who can follow you and help you with the depression and decide whether or not you need some more formal treatment for this.
Okay, so how do I go about doing this? Because I ain't got...
Just call MA. Call Marijuana Anonymous.
Don't use the S word. All right, your last chance to try to stump me with a carpentry question.
Rich?
Anything, Rich? Framing? Maybe a framing question?
How do you polish granite?
The hell kind of carpentry question
how
is that?
Polish granite.
The masonry question.
Fireplaces, granite. Everybody wants granite in their house.
Okay. All right. Hey, you're smoking way too much pot.
Hey, I'm trying to stump you here, man. What's up?
I said with a carpentry question. You give me a masonry question.
All right.
Go
so
ahead.
I can call MA if I even want to quit.
Yes.
He's not a carpenter.
All right. Here's the deal. Why is it almost near impossible to get any form of satisfaction on anyone who calls this show on any level, even the simplest?
How far do you put studs apart?
16 on center.
But you're the man, you see.
How's that it?
You've now joined me in that role.
Yeah.
So it used to be just me that everything was no.
I see. No, now I've joined the no role.
You are literally a millionaire now, so you've promoted that so effectively.
Let me explain the layout with studs, choices, and rafters. Here's the deal, everybody. You can lay them out 16 on center, in the center of each one, from the center to the center, 16 inches, or you can do them 24 on center.
Boring.
And the reason it's got to be one of those two is so your 8-foot sheet of drywall or 8-foot sheet of plywood lands half on when it gets to the next one.
You decide whether it's 8 or it's 12 or 24, though. Is one of better quality? Or?
Well, you wouldn't go 24 on a wall. You'd go 16 on center of a wall. You might go 24 on a roof rafter or ceiling joist or something like that. It's the kind of thing where if you're using 2x10s, you might go 16 on center. But if you're going 24 on center, you'd have to go 2x14. 2x16, something like that. See what I mean? It's the thickness of the wood.
And what, right? What do you have to do before you put the drywall on?
What do you have to do?
To the studs.
You don't have to do anything to the studs. Before you hang the sheetrock?
Yes.
Well, here's the deal. You'd have to put your insulation in. You'd have to put your electrical in. You'd have to get a framing inspection. And then you'd have to hang your sheetrock. There's nothing to do to the studs before you put the drywall on. You have to go with the treated bottom plate. Either redwood or womanized lumber, so it wouldn't be, you know, screwed up by the weather or termites. There's nothing to do with studs before you hang the drywall.
Oh.
Why? Fuel housing. Why, you have something?
No. That's a good answer. I was just curious if you knew your stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could tell you the nailing schedule for the drywall. I'd say I'd go 8 in the field and 6 on the seams, maybe 4 on the seams. Thank you. Jessica?
Yeah?
Here's a plate safe.
Hi.
You're 14.
Right.
What's up?
I'm really obsessed with this guy, and I've been obsessed with him for about a year and a half, and I wanted to know, like, if I should, like, pursue him or should I give up or what?
Well, try to stump me the carpenter question.
I don't understand why you'd want to pursue somebody that's not been responding to you for 18 months.
Well, we were friends and everything in eighth grade last year, and, like, I was, like, flirting with him a lot and everything. And then this year over the summer, we didn't talk at all. And now, like, well, I'm a little bit shy around him, so I don't say hi a lot or anything. But my locker is, like, right next to his. And so I don't know, like, I'm kind of scared to say hi because I'm afraid of what he might say. But I really like him a lot.
Do you remember this? Is it even painful to hear this?
Yeah. Listen, just, Jenny, what would you do?
I would not say hello to him, but do something to spark his attention. I mean, I don't know what you're involved in at school, but, you know, do something spectacular. The guy's like, whoa, she's cool.
That's like horrible advice.
Not start a fire. Something good.
No, but listen, a guy doesn't need to be impressed. Women need to be impressed. Guys don't care.
Yeah. Sure they do.
No. Okay, listen. No.
Okay, when a guy sees a girl as a cheerleader and she's up there doing her stuff, he's not going to be like...
In fact, they're scared of that. That's like, oh,
yeah. Yeah. She's
high maintenance. Oh, okay, yeah, I get that all the time.
I want someone with low self-esteem. I want a sleeper, something I can fix up. Yeah,
that's what guys do.
No, seriously, let me ask you, Drew, average high school guy, okay? Now, one girl is captain of the speech and debate club. She's on the Yale leading squad. She's a straight-A student, and she's president of the Madrina Sescaderos, which is the Spanish club, right? Very dynamic, and she's the treasurer and vice president of school. There's another chick who's marginally better looking than she is, who does nothing.
She's going to get all the guys.
Who gets the dudes? The one who's marginally better, okay, who does nothing?
If she's injured in some way, it'd probably go up even higher. You know what I mean? If she's got some sort of...
She can't run. Right. This is how guys think. Because we're very pragmatic. Whereas you gals, you want the movers and the shakers. We want the layers and the shushers. Not the shakers, the shushers. I like a woman who just sits still and be quiet.
All right, but Jessica's obsessed with this guy. Adam, listen, she's obsessed with this guy. There's no relationship here. Well, the help, you went through this at 14.
If Jessica does what I advise her to do, you guys have to listen to this for a second. If she doesn't get the guy, she still has the cool thing that she sets out to do for herself.
Yes, I agree. Yes, that I agree with.
And she's going to feel awesome no matter what.
And eventually she will attract somebody. She'll be going after more appropriate people.
So you say if she wins the science fair this year, then what? what do you want her to do? Seriously, give her a concrete thing to do.
Something that she likes to do and, you know, will make her... aware to this person that she is an existence.
But if this guy were the slightest bit into her already,
she probably would know. Hey, Jessica?
Yeah?
Okay, here's the deal.
Okay.
You know how if a guy was interested in you and you weren't interested in him, it wouldn't be that big a deal? Like, it'd just be kind of flattering and move on? I mean, if he didn't bug you.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you found out a guy thought you were cute and was interested in you and you weren't interested in him, it'd just be kind of flattering, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, he's going to feel the same way if he finds out that you're interested in him.
As long as you don't bug him.
He's not going to make fun of you. Yeah. He's not going to laugh about it. He's going to be kind of flattered and think it's kind of cool. And maybe he'll like you, and maybe he won't. But it's no big deal. Just think about how you would feel. That's how he'll feel. So if you want to just say hi to him, just say hi to him. Okay, but don't build me volcanoes and, blow them up during lunch or anything like that. I don't agree with you any on that.
And don't obsess about this. It either is real or it isn't. And if it isn't, focus on other things that will make you happier.
Oh, all right?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Hi, Jessica.
Like me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Hey, you want to do a class project on me?
A shrine?
You want to build a shrine to me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, how dare you. Hey, Drew, you want to hear what a horrible sleeper I am?
No. I hear about it all the time.
I know, but listen to this. Okay, remember last week, Thursday, I didn't get any sleep?
Yeah, Friday. I mean, Wednesday and Thursday, you got no sleep.
Wednesday, I slept for 3 hours, mm-hmm. and then went the whole day, and then went to New York, and got off the radio show from New York at 3 o'clock. And then I got back to the hotel at, 3:30, and I was getting picked up in the lobby at 5:30. And so I slept 3 hours the night before, and now I was going to sleep, an hour 45 minutes or something. I'm lying in my bed. First off, lying in my bed in the hotel room at 3:30 thinking, what's on TV?
Oh.
I mean, not even close. I mean, just start watching TV. Then I take one of those sleeping pills.
Oh, my God.
And I'm still lying there going, hey, what's on TV?
Oh.
And I'm watching TV. And now it's getting near 4 in the morning. I'm getting picked up at 5:30,
oh.
Okay?
Oh, my God.
Now it's getting near 4 in the morning, and I'm thinking, I could watch TV for, you know, if I could get up whenever I wanted, I'd watch TV for another hour. But since I'm getting picked up an hour and 15 minutes, I only slept 3 hours the night before, I'm going to go to bed. And I went to bed, and I set the alarm for 5:15 or something, because I was going to get up and meet the guy in the lobby.
5:12.
I woke up at 5:05, got up, looked at the clock, and went,
oh, my God.
Well, I'm going to take a shower then.
It's painful just thinking about that.
Now, that's with a sleeping pill in me. An industrial strength one that I took only like an hour and 10 minutes ago.
That is insane.
And I slept 3 hours ago on the entire, never stopped going the whole day.
Oh, painful just hearing that story.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
How do I do that? What is that? Don't know.
You're sick.
Thank you. All right. I just want to hear from a doctor. Jenny McShane is our guest tonight. She's in this movie that I'm not in.
Jenny's pissed.
And I'm pissed about it. She's got something going on HBO that I'm not in. And she's got something going with Forrest Whitaker's brothers. I'm not in that either. So we'll be back to talk about all those things. Wait a minute. And Ryan, who's a 17 and likes masturbation better than sex with his girlfriend after this. Yeah. Yay! It's the love line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Who's coming in here tomorrow night? What did Ann do with that list? Ann, where's
it? You and me.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, don't bother tuning in tomorrow night. Nikki Cox will be in here from...
tomorrow night?
Yeah. Happily. Night after that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Happily Ever After or whatever? What's that show? She got a new show coming out. It's called... It's... I think she spells it C-K-S. Yeah. No, it's called...
C-O-X.
Right. Nikki Cox.
That's her name. Yeah,
that's her name, Anderson. Don't freak out over there. She's married to my friend Bobcat. Oh, that's a bitch. How'd he pull that one off? All right, what do you want, Drew?
Some facts about the morning after pill as opposed to RU-486. Very different products. RU-486 is an abortion pill. Prevent and Plan B are not. They're post-coital emergency contraception.
Sort of the difference between the pill.
Yes.
And
an abortion.
And an abortion.
Absolutely.
Pill. One prevents you from getting pregnant.
And one causes
Let's
an
make
abortion.
It even easier. It's sort of the difference between a condom and an abortion pill.
Yeah.
Just because our listeners really need to have things really
hamper an abortion pill. Go all the way.
Jenny McShane is our guest tonight. She's in The Watcher, which is currently out in theaters. That is, what's his name? And then the other guys in there, too. That's Keanu Reeves and James Spader.
And yes. Marissa Tomei.
And then you got a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's in Shark Attack, which is awesome with Marissa Tomei.
And
Casper Van Dien, right?
Uh-huh, it's on HBO.
That is currently out in Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider. Oh, Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider wanted to come in here.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about this?
Yeah.
Come on here. Okay, we're in the middle of this, still going on with this actor strike, or SAG and AFTRA, the actors' unions, and all those people out here are on strike, you know. And I guess we can't do commercials, and I don't know what else. Maybe just commercials. And all these actors, because they're a bunch of pussies, and no, they really are. They're just a bunch of freaks. They're a bunch of, like, injured, wounded idiots. I made a few comments about the strike saying I don't really care that much, and they got all freaked out and jumped on me because I don't have anything better to do. And listen, all you idiots, don't think I don't know what the truth is. You guys couldn't be happier this strike is going on. It's the first time you've had an excuse for not working. The first time. Believe me, let me tell you something. If the strike ended tonight at midnight, you know what all you guys would be doing tomorrow morning? Back to the job that had nothing to do with acting. Please. You guys crack me up. It's like you're not working because of the strike. 99% of you didn't work anyway. please. And this whole thing where people, you know, Tom Hanks comes on there and he says, oh, these people, this is their livelihood. This is how they make their living. Oh, what about all the people who wanted to make, I wanted to play pro football. What about my livelihood? There's other people who wanted to race on the professional motocross circuit. There's other people who want to be in the circus. They can't make a living doing it. What a surprise. Acting is not a job. It really isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's a privilege. What percentage of people that want to be actors make a living off it?
I think it's like 10%.
Maybe. Okay, and that's in the union. The people, I'm just talking about the millions of people just want to act.
Right, but this...
That's not a job. Would you call that a job?
But acting in films and TV is, I think, a luxury that, you know, but this, the strike that's going on right now is for actors that do make a living as commercial actors.
Yeah, that's not a job either.
Yes, it is.
Apparently it's not, because a lot of people support you. We don't need you.
A lot of people support their families doing commercials. You know,
right.
The character actor
they
you see on the...
They supplement their income on a fantasy job that's not a real job.
Oh.
It's not a real job. It is not a job, everybody. You want to support your family? Get a job. Don't wait around. Get a real job and shut up. Tired of hearing you complain. And I make a few comments about it, and you guys all start bellyaching. Kiss my ass. Now, Rob Schneider, thanks for bringing that up. Rob Schneider wanted to come on to this show and debate me about this. And then, so his people called in and said, Rob wants to come on to debate. I said, fine, come on in. And then they called back and said, he wants to just do a phoner. I said, no, he's not. He's come in here. He brought it up. He can come in and do it. And then they said, well, he's sequestered or secluded himself because he's writing a movie. Okay. I'm writing a movie, too. It doesn't take anything. You can do whatever you want. That's the whole point. And then Jimmy said he saw him at the movie theaters like two nights later. So that's how committed he is to this cause, everybody. Ryan?
Yeah?
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I constantly masturbate.
Great.
And when I have sex with my girlfriend, it doesn't feel good. I don't like doing it.
Yeah.
I like masturbating more than having sex with her.
Well, it's good. It's just not the real thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
How many times a day are you doing this?
Oh, well, I do it like once a day, but like six times a week. Just like every day.
Okay.
Hey, recreation, please. Recreation.
Okay.
So, Adam, how many times are you doing this? How many times a day?
No. I think you just said how many times.
How often are you doing this?
I do it once a day, six times a week, every day. Hey, I've said 1,000 times. I'll pit our callers against any other radio shows, national or otherwise, in this stupidity competition. Ryan?
Yeah.
You smoke a fair amount of weed, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shocking.
No kidding.
Yeah, the last guy called the show smoked a lot of weed. He swung a hammer for a living and couldn't even figure out the term interior. He said, I mostly do inside the house work.
Make it look nice. Make the inside look
and
nice.
When I said, okay, well, you swing a hammer really, ask me a carpentry question, you want to know how he polished granite. You ask me a nice masonry question. That's excellent. All right. Hey, Ryan?
Yeah?
Why don't you stop smoking so much weed? It's making you dumb. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And stop masturbating so much and smoking so much weed.
He's not masturbating that much. Right? Well, your standards, he's way, way behind.
I know, but he doesn't have as high tolerance as I have for masturbation.
I see.
Not everyone is cut out of the same cloth I am.
The question is, why doesn't he like the real thing? Why doesn't he like intimacy?
Can't you close your eyes and pretend you're masturbating like I do?
No.
Dude.
That's bad.
It's like Spicoli here. Right?
Yeah. Hey, Ryan.
Yeah?
You know, I'd rather focus on your weed consumption than your sex problem.
All I need is some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Yeah, you smoke a lot of weed, right?
Yeah.
Since you're about 13, right?
Huh?
Since you're about 13?
Since his mom was 13. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Ryan, slow down a little, Dumbo.
You can't.
Okay. Then can you do something?
What?
You got to go to MA.
MA?
Yeah. You're smoking way too much weed.
Well, my parents right now have me with a psychologist.
Well, talk to the psychologist about the amount of pot you're doing, okay?
Okay.
They need to know that. As far as, and then I talked to psychologists too about this issue of not liking to be physical with your girlfriend. Uh-huh. There's a reason for that.
Hey, I bet if you cut out weed for 1 week and masturbate for 1 week, he'd be all over.
Yeah, but now you get so depressed coming off the pot, too.
Yeah. I didn't masturbate last night, by the way.
Oh, my God. Are you okay?
I'm okay now.
You caught up.
Touch and go last night for a little. No, I decided no.
What? A volitional?
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
God. Out there. Oh, my God.
Yes. It could be the beginning of the end.
You did something wrong. You have brain tumor. You're ways to die. Yeah.
Could be. I do feel a little pressure on my forehead area. Yep. Yep. Decided not to. Yep. Thought about it. Said no. No. Thought about it.
I don't know what to say.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. My point is I had to dig very deep. I had to really do some soul searching.
Yeah.
I went to bed. Yeah. Jacked off at 8 in the morning. Huh? Kim?
Oh, my God.
No. No, I didn't.
It was 5 points.
Yeah, it's fine. How dare you? Kim?
Yeah?
You're 18.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you're awake.
Right.
You were asleep before, weren't you?
What?
Okay.
All right, Kim.
You've been on hold for 116 minutes?
Very tired. I'm sick, too.
Hey, Kim? I got an idea, baby. Here's what I'm going to do. You put the phone down and take some water and run it on your face, all right?
Okay.
And make that sound I make when I'm giving a girl oral sex. Or we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back and talk to you, okay?
Okay.
In just a few minutes, right?
Okay.
All right. Hold on. All right, we'll take a little break, and we'll be back after this. Now, man, for all that is Dr. Drew over there, forget about that phone number. Jenny McShane is our guest tonight. Jenny is in the Watcher, Keanu Reeves, and Bill Pullman's in there. He's a good actor, don't argue with me. And going to be soon be seen in Renegade, the movie, and Nash Bridges, the movie. Don't forget Cheech and Don. Surprised they don't use their full name on that app. Cheech Marin and Don Johnson is married to Melanie What's-Her-Nose. That's a pretty realistic portrayal of San Francisco detectives, wouldn't you say?
I think it is.
Yeah, drive around the Canary Yellow 69 Barracuda with the 440.
Oh, that part isn't that.
He's wearing the jacket that the guy wins in the Masters tournament, wearing a $1,500 Armani blazer. It's such pretty typical, the guy who makes $38,000 a year as a cop. Hey, what's the deal? I don't know who started this. I think it maybe got started in Starsky and Hutch, but it was in the A-Team. We were talking about this too, and it's now. It's a tradition where undercover cops, plainclothes cops, drive around in canary yellow cars with open headers.
Yeah,
and
something
wheels.
Something as
obnoxious.
Suspicious as, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Undercover. Well, see, I'm going to stand out so people won't think of me as somebody going undercover.
Exactly. If somebody drove up to your house in a car like that, would you think they were a cop?
I got a series planned out that I'm pitching to ABC this week where it's an undercover narcotics agent who drives around in the Batmobile. Okay. It's totally believable. Just as believable as Cheech and Don driving around that 69 Canary Yellow.
They got to get to use that Batmobile. They're going to be happy to do that.
Actually, I'm going to use the monkey's mobile on the pilot, and then he's going to trade that in for the Batmobile because he wants to go deep undercover.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and then the Munsters mobile. I'm going to drive the Munsters casket dragster around. Really, Don Johnson would be less conspicuous.
Driving in a...
Driving the Munster. Yeah. Driving around in Bigfoot. All right, Kim.
Oh, God.
All right, Kim.
Yeah, all right, so now you're awake.
I'm awake. I really was asleep, though.
We know.
Did you just put on before I was awake?
We did. Now, what's going on?
I have this friend. I use the term friend lightly because he was my boyfriend. He and I have been off and on for... approximately 4 years.
Kim, speak up a little. Lady Fleece?
I have to be quiet.
All right. And what's going on with him now?
He told me, like, things that have happened, like, in the past.
Hey, Kim, you're talking in sort of riddles around. It's just, my ex-boyfriend told me, fill in the blank.
That he was sexually abused.
Okay, great.
Fantastic. It kind of, like, freaked me out.
Sure. That's why the relationship has been so chaotic. Is he bisexual also?
Oh, no. He's a totally straight-laced kid. And very, like, I don't know, like, very religious.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right. Good. Maybe let's keep it in
touch. All right, so are you freaked out by that?
Kind of. I don't know why it freaked me out so bad, but...
Okay.
Well, it's something about him that you didn't know, and it's a very serious thing.
And, like, he's moving on Thursday, like, to a totally different state, and it's, like, that's freaking me out even worse.
All right. Well, this may be the end of this thing, Kim.
It's freaking out because you're afraid something's going to happen to him or because you're losing him?
Because I'm losing him.
Well, that's hard to deal with here, as your age especially. These very intense relationships, then people move away, and it's all...
All right.
But it's a perceptual thing. It's not really something... real. It's not as though this relationship is that important. He's ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Somebody I'm sure you're concerned about. Mm-hmm. And you should stay a friend and support him and sort of get him to... maybe he's okay. And, you know, a single episode of sexual abuse doesn't have to result in long-term issues. It often does.
Yeah. Well, we don't know if it's a single episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Anderson just told me an upcoming episode of Nash Bridges that that Don Johnson trades in the Canary Yellow Barracuda for the Pope Mobile.
Oh, yeah. And
he doesn't want to be seen.
Yeah. Well, not be shot at.
Yeah, he runs bulletproof plexiglass between him and the bad guys. Yeah. And he's got to go deeper undercover.
And he likes you standing up when he's driving.
And he wants you to come on as a guest star.
That show, I see that show, I see 5 minutes of that a month, I can't figure out what it is.
You get that dig?
Yeah.
It's just about as likely, and you go on as a guest star.
I can't figure that show out. I can't figure out Walker, Texas Ranger either, so there's a few shows I can't figure out.
You know what I like Walker, Texas Ranger, though?
You do? Yeah. Really?
You do. No, I met Aaron Norris the other day. He wanted me to come on and play a country singer on there.
Uh-oh.
And then I found out that
if you do Walker, Texas Ranger, Renegade, and Nash Bridge, we're going to have to get married.
Yeah, but it's fun. Come on. It's fun. It's like playing Cowboys and Indians in there.
Absolutely. It must be. No, I mean, it's great because it's like not really doing a TV show. I mean, it's just like. You must be just goofing around, right?
I am. I like it. I like the characters that I play.
I know I'm sounding horribly insulting, but I mean,
no, it's not.
You've done good work in your day, and if you do Walker, Texas Ranger, you get your paycheck and have a good time.
Exactly. I don't care. I'm like,
right. You show up drunk.
I just think it's cool that Aaron Norris is Chuck Norris's brother, and he produces the show. That's just me, sentimental kids from Minnesota. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Oh, but Chuck just put him in that position.
I know. But I think it's cool. Like his kids are directing the show and everything. And
let me tell you something, everyone, about producer. I want everyone to look. I'm gonna get myself in a lot of trouble tonight. But our manager Howard is. You know, if you look at the man show credits, it says Howard Lapidus, executive producer. He doesn't do anything. So if you look at the credits on a lot of shows where it says like executive producer, whatever. Not doesn't necessarily mean they did anything. Not a slight against him. He'll tell you doesn't do anything. But you don't know the difference when you're looking at the credit. It says Daniel Kellison, executive producer. Daniel does 65 hours a week. And it says Howard Lapidus, executive producer. And Howard does... I don't know what he does. He doesn't do anything. The point is when you watch the credits, you see producer, you never know what it means. Could mean the guy's buddy. Could mean a guy who's there 100 hours a week. You don't know what it is.
Oh,
how does that work?
The Corolla Crossfire is just nailing everybody.
Well, is that a bad thing?
I get every night. I'd like to have a comrade in arm here.
Do you think Howard would be mad if he heard that?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I'm sure he has things he does that you don't know about.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. You know, can you name any of that?
Not as much as Daniel does. I mean, okay. He's going full
right.
Black.
But if you're watching the screen, you don't know the difference.
You don't know the difference in the relative weight of the different big positions.
Right. Right. So I'm just saying, when you see producer on the TV screen, you don't know what that means. You don't know if the guy was there or not there.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Right.
But the executive producer usually gives all the money for the show to be made.
No, not always.
No.
That, you don't know that either.
Don't know that either.
Yeah, you're right. We don't know. We don't know.
No. All right.
I get you.
We're going to take a little break here?
Yeah. That's what that means.
Jenny McShane is our guest tonight. She's from The Watcher, which is Tanner Reeve and Barry Gibb. It's in theaters right now. And we'll be back after this. Yep, love line. All right. That is it. I want to thank Jenny McShane for coming in here tonight and being just a delight.
Thanks, you guys, for inviting me.
In spite of Alan's behavior, I apologize.
The Watcher, everybody. Keanu Reeves and Metal Arc Lemon.
And Adam Carolla.
And Adam Carolla.
Yeah, and that could happen.
James Spader in theaters now and soon to be coming out a whole bunch of other stuff. So look out for that. And Shark Attack on HBO, which is currently running, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. My nuts are tipped.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or the station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.